starting a series now on camping over the weekend. Halachot that will come up when you go camping over the weekend. And we'll begin with part one. We'll begin with a discussion of domains. Eruv. So, let's say you went out, you're in some kind of national park, you're in some kind of forest, you're somewhere on the beach. You don't go camping in public domain. So the place you're going camping is going to be a karmelis, a place which is technically, rabbinically prohibited from carrying. So in order to make the place permissible, I have to create four walls. I can't create four walls usually.
String.
So we have this halacha about Tzuras HaPesach. The halacha teaches me that one can make the shape of an opening and use that to enclose his camping ground. The problem is, can you really encompass all sides with string? So Chazal were lenient once you have a camp of three. Once you have shayara, once you have a caravan that's traveling in the army. So we'll discuss that. Assuming you're three or more, we're assuming you're a caravan, assuming you're in the army. So what we do is we want to enclose the area, and there are two ways we can do that. One way would be to take poles and put a string. Let's say let's begin simply. Okay, I'm going to have an enclosed area with poles and string that runs over the poles and stays running over the poles, and then two poles with a string running over them. So that's a Tzuras HaPesach. That's like the shape of an opening, like the shape of a doorway. We view it as though that doorway is closed. I have a wall, two poles and a string running over them. Now, we run... Oh, so if I want to use a tree, my challenge is that it has to run over the pole. I have to have a pole that runs straight up, and the string has to run over it. Now, it also has to be over 10 tefachim from the ground, so it's got to be above this height. Practically, if you're going... So that's another challenge. When we use a tree, what we usually do is we saw into the tree so that the string will run over the trunk, right? So the string has to go into the part that you sawed into the tree. So that's one way to do it. So imagine you have one tree over here.
Thank you.
Another tree over here. You might even find a third tree over there. So what you're going to do is you're going to saw into the tree, tie your string so that it goes into that sawed into part. Remember, it has to be over 10 tefachim. And then it'll run into the other tree you sawed into. And there you have one Tzurat HaPetach. But again, the string has to run over the post. So if I saw it into the tree, that's an easy way to make sure it runs over it. Otherwise, it gets complicated. And if it shifts on Shabbos, I got a problem. Okay?
Can't return it to its place on Shabbat?
Do women count as part of the three?
Do women count as part?
Coming back to here. So if I've created my karmelis, so then I can carry in there and I don't run into problems. I can't leave there and carry things, so I better figure out where I get my water from. If I'm by the ocean side, the ocean is also a karmelis. I'm not allowed to carry things over there.
Like a stick in the ocean?
Can I run a stick in the water?
Why not? If it's 10 tefachim above the water, or even 20.
A bridge. Can a bridge be considered a...
I don't remember. These are Mishnayos and Erevin. I don't remember clearly enough. It's not so clear. It's two different karmelis in the water and outside the water. I don't remember. Coming back to here... So, if I've created my domain, inside there I'll be able to carry. I have to leave all my items inside. Outside, I won't be able to carry things. Now, I could stand right there and drink from the stream. I'm not walking with it. So I could take water theoretically from the stream and drink it, if that's safe, right? But I wouldn't be able to carry it back. I wouldn't be able to bring back a bucket with water back to the camp. Yeah.
Do you have like a canyon? Like a canyon or like a man dug pit?
Yes. Right, yeah. If you found the cave.
Do you have to declare it as an Erev?
No, that's fine.
So it's automatic Erev?
Yeah. If you found the cave, it's not an Erev, it's a Reshut Hayachid. It's a little complicated. Theoretically, it can be done. Yes. Theoretically, we have this concept called Tela Mitlaket, that if you have an incline that's sharp enough so that, for 10 Tfachim, so then that could constitute one of your walls. Meaning when you say canyon, we are limited. It shouldn't be bigger than a Beit Satayim. It shouldn't be bigger than 50 Amma by 50 Amma.
For example, like the foundation of a house would be dug down.
Right, so that could be. Yeah, very much.
Even if it's gradual?
No. That's what I'm saying. The Mishnah describes how much of an incline it has to be in order to constitute a wall.
So the Grand Canyon is not Reshut Hayachid?
Correct.
But it's
well, I don't know, right. Again, but you can't have an area that's bigger than a Beit Satayim where no one's living there. You're not doing anything there. I mean, if you brought a whole group of people to live there, even for Shabbos, so then you spread out and you filled the area.
Isn't Jerusalem surrounded by mountains, though? Like, couldn't that be considered? Like,
if we want to go off topic, we can. But let's stick here.
River
let's try.
Also, I said, got no rivers.
Why?
That's what they use in Amsterdam.
So I don't think they're using the river. They might use the incline to the river. They might use the dam. They might. They're not using the river. They're using the wall of the river, maybe. Okay, so then that's different. Again, that's the wall. Right, that could be, yeah. Yeah. 10 Tfachim could go downward. Could go down, could go up, yeah.
How many walls do you need in order to make
So that's a little complicated. You should try to make four walls. Yeah.
Four trees.
And don't make your entrance in the corners. You should not have a door in the corners.
How do you have an entrance? It's less than.
You can have a under.
Is it like sukkah? Is that the same concept?
You can make one of them the entrance, one side the entrance. But you, what you could also do is. But you could. You need to have the answer to this today?
No, no,
this
it's
Shabbos.
Not. I'm saying this
so no, because I could bring you a picture book for next week.
Yeah,
it's a very good picture book where we could actually see.
You going camping? You going camping? You're going camping?
No, so I want to know. I want to. But
you want to.
Mitzvah Hashem, remind me for next week, but you got to remind me in advance. I'll bring the book, we'll look at pictures. And then you'll see the different examples.
How do I remind you of this?
Just remind me that you want for your camping trip.
Camping trip book.
Camping trip book on Eruv. It's not really on Eruv, but... Okay, let's move forward. Going to the bathroom. So, your bathroom is not going to be probably within your campgrounds. So you should establish a place where you can have your bathroom, and then... depending on what you're using, if you're using rocks, if you're using, if you have a potty, fine. But if you're camping and you're not carrying a potty around with you, so you might have a designated pit somewhere, so then set up your leaves in advance. Whatever you're using there should be established in advance, ideally. I don't know.
Is there an issue with going on the ground? Is it going to grow?
Okay. As far as one relieving himself on the ground directly, so here we have a few concepts. And this is relevant not only to that, that's also relevant to washing your hands, where the water you wash with is going to cause things to grow. being that it's not your property and you don't care if it grows, so ideally you should wash your hands in a place where there's nothing growing. If afterwards it trickles down to there or not, you don't care about that. That's a lo nichale. We don't do psikreshed lo nichale el chatchila. So that's why you shouldn't wash your hands directly over grass and say, I don't care if it grows. But if you have no choice, you have Uter Elayon to do that. And ideally, you would wash your hands, and also one would relieve themselves in a different place. We also have the opinion that says that, as far as we know, human urine is usually harmful to the growth because it's acidic. And even though the Tiferes Yisrael says in his day, the scientists said it's actually good for the growth, that, but we don't know. It's not so clear. So you can combine that with combine those two opinions in terms of being lenient. When it comes to relieving oneself, one doesn't have to go crazy to find a place where there's nothing growing. This isn't your yard. You don't care what will grow here in 10 days or 20 days by the time it affects anything. It's not really your interest. So in that sense, if you have no choice, there's room to be lenient. If you're not sure which direction it would flow, that's what I'm saying. So long as it's not obvious.
Even if you know,
can you just not care about it?
It's gonna grow to the
you don't know if anything substantial is going to get anywhere.
Can't you just say, I don't care, like this isn't my property, I don't really care?
So that's what's called the psikreshed lo nichale. Meaning if I were to wash my hands over your garden, so I don't care that it's watering your garden, it's your garden, it's not my garden.
I'm not going to do it on a flower or on the
grass. Wait a second, but I'm watering a plant. I'm saying I don't care if it waters the plant, but I'm doing the act. I can't wash my hands over your flower pot and say, I don't care. It's your flowers. I don't care.
In public domain.
It's still, if you're doing it directly, if you're washing your hands over grass, over a tree, over a place where you know it's causing something to grow, so that's what I said. Whenever possible, we hold that there are two opinions. The opinion we generally go with is that psik reshed lo nichale is asur. That you can't do something that's directly causing, that there's a direct cause and effect here. You're going to wash your hands over his lawn, and his lawn is going to get watered. So
just saying, don't go out of your, like, don't go crazy, but like
saying, if you have an alternative, you shouldn't do it. You don't have an alternative, so you'll have to rely on the opinion that that's permissible. But we don't do that lechatchila. Ideally, we wouldn't do that. Okay. So next question was in terms of. We covered that. In terms of tefillah. So, you're allowed to go on a trip where you're going to miss minyan. Meaning you're going to be in Shabbat in the woods. And there won't be a minyan there. So even though ideally one should plan their life to make it to pray in a minyan, but that doesn't mean I'm not allowed to plan a trip where invariably I'm going to daven in a certain tefillot without a minyan. The halacha says, I should go out of my way to daven. I should go 18 minutes backwards in my journey in order to daven with a minyan, to daven in a shul, to daven with 10 people. But if I have a minyan here, that's fine. But if I don't have a minyan here, so I went traveling to the Grand Canyon, and I knew I wouldn't have minyan. I didn't. But I'm saying if a person did, that's permissible. You're allowed to travel where you know you won't have a minyan. You bring along your tefillin, you'll daven there alone. And the same thing is true with Kriyat HaTorah, reading the Torah. On holidays, you're not allowed to. Person can't say, on Pesach, I'm going to travel to the Himalayas, I won't have minyan. On holidays, there's a greater obligation to daven with the minyan, to be in a Jewish community. According to Ramban, it's a biblical obligation. Ramban says that's the meaning of the word mo'ed. Mo'ed means itvadut, a gathering. On Yom Tov, Ramban holds, there's a biblical obligation to daven with a minyan, to be in shul. But on the rest of the time, even on Shabbat, if you're far away from civilization, So that's okay. A person will daven whenever it's davening time. If you know where the nearest Jewish community is and when they're davening, so you could try to daven the same time they are. That's always a good thing. In terms of knowing when it's nighttime, when is Shabbos set in? So once you see the sun setting, that's Shabbat. So you'll say, but there are mountains there. Right, but from your perspective, you have to evaluate. If I didn't have these buildings in the way, if I didn't have the mountain in the way, when would the sun set? So 5 minutes before that, I have to stop doing work.
So what do people do in Antarctica?
It's a good question. Not for now. back to here. When you'll have a trip to the Antarctica, we'll have to deal with it.
It's never coming, ending Shabbat there.
Coming back to here. In terms of Tzeit Shabbat, so yes, if you see three stars, three small stars, that you feel confident that those are three stars, three small stars, so then that's it. Shabbat is over. You don't know exactly when Tzeit is where you are. That's fine. That's what they did. Even when I was a kid, that's what they did. They waited till you saw some three small stars. We didn't have calendars that said, when I was a kid, that's not so long ago. Okay, it was a little after the dinosaurs. We waited until you saw three stars. That's what the people did. You went outside, you waited to see until you saw three small stars. That's okay. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch.
Can I ask you a question about the minyan?
Yeah.
Not with regards to, but why is it so important to daven with the minyan? Like, either way, God hears your prayer.
It's a great question, but that's a different topic. We'll get there. Let's stick to this one right now.
So he doesn't just focus on you.
I understand, like, that, like, the, by 10.